today. We are in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. How many have read that before? Or maybe you've heard that preached from before. Lots of hands. There may be someone in the room today that has never heard teaching about the Holy Spirit. And I pray to bring good understanding today and good teaching today that will help you. This series, The Fire Still Falls, has been building toward this moment. We talked about the promise comes first and born again. And on Mother's Day, we talked about it happening with the women. And then last Sunday, we talked about the school of the Spirit. Today, I want to talk to you about the first fire. First time we experience the fire in the Bible. The first time we see the manifestation of the fire. We just read it in Acts 2, those first four verses. This is the first great outpouring after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. Pentecost means 50. In spite of popular opinion, Pentecost does not mean tongues. Pentecost does not mean TBN. Pentecost does not mean weird preachers on TV. Pentecost means 50, meaning it is a holy day, a day of celebration, 50 days after Easter, after the resurrection. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We are 50 days from the resurrection of our Lord. And our earlier messages spoke of Jesus' instructions. That first message in this series, the promise comes first. Jesus was telling them, I want you to go to the exact place where they are right now. They have fulfilled that promise, or at least 120 of them, because Paul tells us in Corinthians that he was seen of above 500. More than 500 people heard his instruction to go to Jerusalem and wait for this power to come. But Luke tells us in Acts 2 that there were about 120. 120 is not so great a number that we can't count it exactly. They'll give me an exact count later today of how many people were in our service and on our campus. It's not hard to count the exact number. I believe the reason they tell us it was about 120 is because that door was opening with people coming in and people going out continuously. People that had grown impatient, people that had grown frustrated. Oh, I'm already preaching today. People that had grown weary in well-doing, people that showed up thinking church was going to be their answer, stayed 10 minutes and said, well, I give up. How are you going to spend 20 years getting your life in a mess and only give God 20 minutes to work it out? Just sit your hips down and let the Lord do a work in your life. Well, I'll save me a piece of chicken. I'll be there in a little while, but I'm going to preach today if you don't mind. So Jesus gives them instruction. Go to this exact place. That's where they are. And wait. That's what they are doing. He said, wait for fire. Not symbolic fire. Not emotional fire. Go and wait for the fire of Pentecost. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, heaven touched earth in a room of waiting people. I feel like, I sense today that I am in a room of waiting people, people who are anticipating, people who are in expectation, people who are believing that God is going to work. And God, is there anybody waiting on the Lord to come through in your, what if today is the day that God says, no more waiting. Today I'm blessing you. Today I'm breaking you out. Today I'm delivering you. Today I'm healing you. Today I'm filling you. What if today? Today is that day. And so this upper room, this room of waiting people, what began in the upper room still burns in surrendered hearts. What they felt on the day of Pentecost, what they felt in our text reading today, I believe we feel today. You say, don't you think it must have been different then? It must have been unique then. It must have been so special then. I hear you, and I would love to experience it. I would love to be there. I would love for that time travel thing to get figured out so I can go and be in the room. But I also know that God said he is no respecter of persons. How would he let them feel something more powerful than he allows you and I to feel? That tells me that 2,000 years later, the same spirit that fell on them is the same spirit that falls in this room. The same anointing they felt then is the same anointing that I feel right now. Lord, thank you for saving some for this generation and this people, because we have surrendered hearts. And let me just say today, we're not aiming for an occasional event. I'm not looking for a once a year type of an outpouring. I want this to be the consistent, continued expression of spirit in this house. I say it every now and then because we need to be reminded this is a spirit-filled church. We believe in the outpouring of the Spirit. You say, Pastor Darrell, that is weird to me. I understand it's weird to you. That's not like anything I've ever seen before. I understand. But the fact that you've never seen it does not make it false or not real. God is allowing you to see it now. I don't know why he waited until you were 61. I don't know why he waited until you were 43. I don't know why some were born in this and some found it later. All I know is thank you, Lord, that I finally found and felt and spoke. Thank you, Lord, that I got here when I did, because you showed up right on time in my life, and I'm thankful for it. Is anybody thankful for the Spirit of the Lord? Woo! So this history of Azusa has helped us understand how it happened 120 years ago. But what happened 120 years ago has a source, because Acts 2 is even older than that, 2,000 years ago. And so we are following the same pattern for spirit fulfillment. We're following the same pattern for spirit expression and spirit outpouring and spirit power. Amen. I want to know about the first fire. Look again at verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The first step in this pattern, if you will, is that they felt it. They felt this. The first thing they felt was not fire. The first thing they felt was wind. And they literally heard the sound of wind. And when they heard the sound of wind, you know what? The atmosphere literally shifted. Something in the room broke. You know why? Because you cannot hold the wind. You cannot control the wind. You cannot manufacture the wind. I don't know exactly what the status of the weather is. I know with the cloud cover, it's not going to be as hot today, so it's going to make our lunch even more pleasant. But we'll get out there under that pavilion, and somebody will say, oh, I'm so thankful for this breeze. I'm so thankful. Some of you brought battery-operated breeze. Some of you need some Febreze. No, I'm just kidding, but... Somebody have their fan just trying to manufacture some cool down, just trying to create something. It's hard to feel wind in a room like this, even with ACs that work, and yet in a room that was enclosed, they felt the wind. You can't hold the wind. You can't control wind. You can't manufacture wind, but when it blows, ladies and gentlemen, when it blows, everyone knows that something changed. When it blows, everyone knows. I was in a service here in the Metro Atlanta just maybe November of 2025, but it was the 30th anniversary of the Brownsville revival. Brownsville Outpouring. Miss Terry is back on the back row. She got saved in the Brownsville revival. Beautiful stories that she tells, and beautiful history. But my friends across town, they were having Pastor John Kilpatrick, who was the pastor of Brownsville Assembly of God, where that revival broke out. They were having him speak on a Wednesday night, 30-year anniversary, and invited him to come and just talk about what happened, talk about the experience, preach about what happened. And I sat on the front row of that service, and I was just spellbound. I was fascinated as Pastor John Kilpatrick recounted the stories, and he went to the pulpit without notes. He was just talking and reminiscing, and you could tell that his spirit, his mind was taking him back, and then something else would come to his mind, and he would start telling that. And I don't know, it was probably 45 or 50 minutes, maybe as much as an hour, that he just talked about what happened. And very humbly, he talked about the fact that it was prayer that birthed that revival. He talked about his own doubt. He talked about his own frustration as a pastor. He talked about his wife, who was probably more spiritual than he was. And this is not prophetic about my wife and me. Don't get any ideas. But he was talking about how his wife was saying, "No, it's going to be all right." And he was in such a low place or in such a frustrated place that he was having a hard time believing there was going to be revival or breakthrough. He was telling all of those stories, and it was like water to my parched soul. I sat in rapt attention, just hearing everything that he said. And he got toward the end of that time, and end of that teaching, and he just said something along these lines. I'm right there on the front row. There was a young lady who was standing at the end of my row, holding a camera, and was filming part of that service, for online and all of that. She was standing right there. I'm seated right here, and Pastor John Kilpatrick said, "I don't know. It may blow in here today," and I'm telling you, God as my witness, sitting right there on that front row, it was a gust of wind that blew through that sanctuary. The girl that was holding the camera literally just fell down in a heap. I caught her camera so that it would not hit the floor. I mean, was just out in the Holy Spirit. And I realize I've already left some of you that don't quite understand that, and it doesn't make sense to you. And I don't know what to tell you other than God does not always make sense, because you cannot control this wind, and you cannot hold this wind, and you cannot manufacture manufacture this wind. But I'm here to tell you, you can feel the Spirit of the Lord. I feel him moving in this room right now. I feel him all up around me while I'm teaching this word today. I believe you feel him right where you're seated. What is that? It's the Spirit of the Lord. And when he moves, the atmosphere shifts. It shifts. May not be able to control the wind, but you can feel when God enters the room. And I understand there's some of us who want God predictable. We want God manageable. We want God controllable. But hear me, ladies and gentlemen, revival interrupts control. Acts says the Spirit moved suddenly. I know they were there waiting. I know they arrived just like we arrived today. We haven't been here 10 days straight. We haven't just been waiting and waiting and waiting, but we arrived today at the appointed time believing something was going to happen, believing something could break forth today, believing something could happen today. And the Bible said that the Spirit moved suddenly. I don't know if you define that as if it was when they least expected it. I don't know if you define that as they were just having conversation. They were just in prayer. Some of them were reading, script. I don't know what everyone was doing. 10 days in the process, not everyone is living uniform or walking it out the same way, but the Bible says that he moved suddenly. It was not scheduled. It was not programmed. That's why if you were here last Sunday, you understand that hunger matters. You understand that humility matters and that holiness matters. And those 120 people had prepared the room, and now heaven was filling the room. That's the ultimate question. Lord, have we prepared for your arrival? Have we done all you've asked us to do? Are we living in expectation? Are we living a repentant lifestyle? Are we walking with you as best as we can, Lord, so that you can move suddenly in this house? Somebody shout heaven. Someone say Spirit of the Lord. All of us say fill this room. Fill this room. Don't fill it according to my plan. Don't fill it according to our program. Don't fill it, Lord, according to us trying to hold or manage or control the wind. Fill this room the way you want to fill this room. Because you're feeling this right now. Maybe you're feeling it for the first time, or maybe you've just never known what it was that you were feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is that. This that we feel is that. When the Spirit moves, you can feel the difference. I feel him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to be afraid of him. Just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for letting me feel. There's something restorative about your presence. There's something so moving and encouraging about your presence. There's people in this room today that were in the hospital earlier this week, and I'm believing that the Spirit of the Lord is restoring to them and helping them and blessing them. There's someone in this room that the doctors placed on hospice a few weeks ago, but somehow they've come up out of hospice and are in this service today. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord. I feel this. I feel this. There's people in this room that are battling cancer. They're not even battling. They're just worshiping with cancer. And cancer is confused. It can't take any more of their body. It can't conquer their flesh. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is in. This is that. Somebody ought to give God praise in this house today. Look at verse number 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. I'm waiting. Mel Gibson, you know, he directed and wrote and produced Passion of the Christ, and depicted a number of years ago. It's an incredible and awesome depiction of the Calvary story. But he is making right now the after Easter portion of the Bible that is going to include Acts 2, and I can't wait to see how he depicts this moment, or how he puts it on the screen, or exactly what it is going to look like, because I have tried to imagine many times this verse and allowing it to come to life in my mind. There appeared unto them divided tongues, individual tongues as a fire, like fire, the King James says, and it set upon each of them. First of all, folks, they felt it, but hear me with this next point. They saw it. They saw it. They didn't just feel something. They saw something. They saw fire. Did they see specifically fire? I have to believe that somehow, in some way, they saw fire. But I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just doing my best to interpret what the writers and history has given us. But this was a visible evidence of heaven's activity. They could see it happening. This is the fulfillment, the verse we were in last week where John Baptist said, "One mightier than I is coming. He's going to do something I have not been able to do. I've been baptizing you to repentance, but this mightier one whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Folks, this is that. This is the fire that John the Baptist told them was coming. This is the fire that Jesus promised them in John 24. This is the fire, and they are seeing it come to life. They saw it. They saw it. They saw it. They saw it. And don't miss this, fire set on each of them. Just look at your neighbor and tell them that means you. Fire set on each of them. And I'm talking to every single person who may think this is for everyone but you. Fire set on each of them. Every single person in the upper room experienced the fire in their life. Not just Peter, not just the apostles, not just Mary. It wasn't just the loudest person in the room. It was the fire, and it fell on every single one of them. Lord, I'm praying today that you don't leave anybody out, that you don't skip over anybody, but that you fill every single one of us. Let every one of us feel it. Let every one of us see it. God, let every one of us experience it. Why? Because we need him in our lives. Somebody say, "Don't miss me, Lord." Woo. If today is your first time, come back next week and I'll be worse. Every single person had their own encounter. Pastor Darrell, what does spirit look like? It makes me want to see fire every time, but I don't see fire. I've never seen fire. My sweet little 4'11" mother, and I say this with all due respect, but my mother all of my life has seen angels. And you'd have to know my mother, because she ain't nothing fanciful about her. There's nothing exaggerative about her. There's nothing made up or phony in her. But if you ever hear the story, it's unbelievable. I've never seen that. I've never experienced that. But every person had their own encounter. What does that look like? It may look like somebody worshiping with reckless abandon. It may sound like volume coming out of someone. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And I know we've had some odd trends that have hit the church. Sometimes I go to churches that are fallout churches, and everybody falls out. And I'm like, I dare you to pray for me because I ain't falling. Last time I fell, I broke my leg in half. I'm not falling. That's me trying to manage God. That's me trying to control the wind. Watch the Lord knock me out sometime soon. Whatever, Lord, whatever. You're bigger than me. I'm not trying to fight you, okay? But sometimes we get in these bad habits where someone's falling because the person beside them fell. And it's no more the Spirit of the Lord. We got some contrived, we have some made up, we have some form of godliness, but no power. I reject all of that. I'm not accusing anyone's heart. I'm not accusing anyone's motive. I know those stories where they try to teach people. I know the stories of the faith healers that got people in the audience and they got an earpiece and someone's telling them that row number 9 has someone on crutches and I don't know what, you know, somebody's. I want nothing to do with the fake. I want nothing to do with the phony. If it ain't God, I don't want it. But if it's God, I want all of it. I've never seen gold dust. I've never experienced angel feathers. But hear me, ladies and gentlemen, I have felt the presence of the Lord. I have seen the Spirit of the Lord moving on people. And what I found out is that it's available for every single person. He sent individual fire for everybody. Because here's the truth, God does not mass produce relationship. There was one room, there was one spirit, this was one moment, but it was individual fire. We're all at church at the same time, but what people are going to receive today is going to be according to your faith. It's going to be according to your expectation. It's going to be according to what you desire from the Lord. In this one room, there's individual fire. That means there's fire for the front row and fire for the back row. There's fire on this platform and there's fire in that sound booth. Lord, go to that sound booth. I need you in that sound booth. Move, pour it out. That means ushers have fire available to them. That means greeters have fire available to them. Singers have fire available to them. I pray for our singers every Sunday. I'm down there on the front row just, you know, trying to manage my mind and what the Lord wants to do. And Lord, I see them up there. Lord, hit them like everything. Just move. I want that Ecclesiastes kind of move of God where the priest cannot stand to minister. I mean, I got 1,196 words in my notes today, but I don't care if I say another one of them. If God wants to take over and move and pour out of his Spirit, I want God to give us his fire. One more time, just say, Lord, I want it too. I need you in my life. You cannot live off of someone else's flame. You need your own fire. Your grandmother's fire won't sustain you. I'm not talking about your grandmama. She was powerful, but you need your own fire. Your pastor's fire won't sustain you. I'm lit today, but you still got to have your fire. Pray for me, Pastor. I will pray for you, but you got to have your own fire. The fire in this church, this atmosphere won't sustain you. Why? Because eventually, at some point today, all of this will be over and you got to go back home. Some of you are going home to hell. Some of you are going home to crisis. Some of you are going home to chaos. And I rebuke that. I say, Spirit of the Lord, get in the car with them. Climb into their purse. And when they get into their garage, start climbing out, Lord, and fill that house. You ought to just whisper your address right now. You ought to say, Lord, will you meet me back home? Will you send angels? Will you send an outpouring? You may have a husband that's there. They're asleep. You may have a teenager that refused to come with you. They could be shuddering right now in the living room. Why? Because the Holy Ghost just showed up in your house. Because at some point, the fire has to fall on you personally, individually. Folks, we're a churchy bunch, and I love it. We know church culture. We know some worship language. We know some revival history, and we're learning more, but God is saying, I don't want just your awareness. I don't want just your knowledge. I want your encounter. Why? Because the fire fell on each of them. I'm glad Family Fifth is next Sunday. It's going to be the first Sunday that I don't have. I've had Mother's Day hindering me. I've had graduation day hindering me. I got a picnic hindering me. Next Sunday, can I just preach next Sunday? All right. Don't schedule me for anything right after church. Don't tell me there's cupcakes in the lobby, because I can't preach and know there's cupcakes in the lobby. I get distracted by the cupcakes. No cupcakes today. Fried chicken. That way. Somebody said cobbler. I rebuke you. Look at this. Look at this last verse. Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Folks, they felt it. They saw it. Look what happens. They spoke it. You know why? Because the fire did not stay silent. Ooh, I feel my help in this room today. The fire could not stay. What entered the room came out of them. What entered as wind filled their spirit, it filled their lungs, it filled their mouths, and it turned into tongues. That's what the Bible shows us. And interestingly, it takes wind for you to speak words, but it also takes wind for you to speak spirit. That's why people come to the altar and they say, I want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and they just stand there and never open their mouth. Not going to happen. You got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. You got to give God words. You got to give the wind. Instead of speaking cursings or negativity or doubt or struggle or why me, Lord, you got to speak praise to God. You got to speak hallelujah to God. You got to use the breath in your lungs to speak out an allegiance and an honor and a magnify. You got to speak out, and God will turn that wind into his spirit. Hear me. The tongues in Acts 2 were not meaningless noise. The Bible said that people from different nations, just hold on just a second, singers, come, keys, and just hang with me for just a moment. The tongues, it was not meaningless noise. People from different nations, the Bible said, heard real languages, and they were declaring the wonderful works of God. They got a picture in the back. Show that picture. I want to explain something. This is 2003, Pastor Darrell. I was a full-time evangelist. I'm the one second from the left in that picture. I'm in Managua, Nicaragua. That's John Hopkins, my interpreter, that is on my right, the tall guy. Leon Wallace is on my left. I had been in revival with Pastor Leon Wallace for 26 weeks. 26 weeks. Let me explain to you, 26 weeks. That was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And he had a bunch of shift workers in his church that worked in the plants and the factories, and he said, those people are not able to come Monday, Tuesday, because they work, you know, they work second shift or they work third shift or graveyard. So he said, we gotta start doing two services a day. So about a month in, 3-4 weeks into that revival, it went from Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at noon and at 7. Weeks and weeks in, I ended up in an appendicitis in the hospital. Drove myself 2.5 hours back home to the doctor. They took my appendix out. I missed 1 week of that revival and was right back in revival Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at noon and 7. And Leon Wallace said to me, I got this missions budget and I want to help you go around the world. And so he literally started financing crusades around the world. So you see all those people behind us, and I promise you that's only a portion. We leased city buses all around Managua and filled up buses, spent thousands of dollars leasing buses. And there was someone, the missionary is all the way on the far right side of that picture, and he had people from his churches that were on the buses that would, the door, hey, you want to go to revival? Want to go to church? You know, people would get on the buses. They'd get on the buses and bus after bus after bus until there were thousands of people every single night. Thousands of people. 9,000, 10,000 people would gather in this outdoor park area, and we would preach the word to them. Saying all of that to say that when we would make the altar call, people would rush to the front where that stage was. And God started pouring out his spirit. I'd never seen it happen before. I've only seen it happen a couple of times since. But when people would start receiving the Holy Spirit, they were speaking in tongues, but it was in English where I could understand it. It was unbelievable. I'm talking about holy moments that change your life. And I know there's a doubter sitting in this room, and I don't judge you. I understand. If you could meet my mother, about the first time she went to a Pentecostal church, and she and my father, no church history whatsoever. My father, 8th grade education. His father got into a fight with my father's uncle, his brother, my grandfather's brother, got into a fight. One punched the other. The uncle punched my grandfather, who I never met. He fell back and hit his head on the coffee table. It killed him instantly. My father was in the 8th grade. He quit school to start working full time to take care of his mother and sister. My father's life was a mess, but it was also a miracle. And the first time into atmospheres like this, my mother's testimony was, those are the craziest people I've ever seen in my life. You're in good company if you think we're crazy. You're good. You're good. Those are the craziest people I've ever seen in my life. But one Sunday night, they said, hey, Sharon, come down here. Come down here. If she's online, she can type it in the chat because she watches every Sunday, but they said, you got to come. She was on the back row, on the very back row. Folks, you got to show up early to get a back row seat at the Church Covington. Usually it's just the opposite, but you got to show up early to get a back row seat. She was on the back row. And they said, hey, come down here and see what's happening. My father had responded to the altar call. He had been down there praying, but there was hundreds of people there. She couldn't see what was happening down over the heads, and she just 4'11". She couldn't see anything except the person in front of her. But they walked her down there, and she said, every person I passed, I thought, they're crazy. They're nuts. I don't know why they got their hands lifted. I don't know why they're shouting. All these people are crazy. But when she got to where my father was, the one person in that room she knew was my father. And she said, I knew he wasn't crazy because I knew him. And there he was with his hands lifted, tears running down his face, and he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God filled him and gave him the utterance. And she said, right there in that moment, she said, God, I'm not sure about all of this, but I want to know more. And it wasn't long before God filled her with the Holy Spirit also. You can take the picture down, but thousands of people received the Holy Spirit in that crusade. And they were praising God in English. You're dying to know what they were saying, huh? I would go to them. Si habla inglés? No. 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 Español? No. No. I don't speak English. You were just speaking fluent English. No, I no comprende. No, I don't know. No, no. And yet when they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, they were saying, God, you are so amazing. Thank you. It was the most beautiful, pure praise. Powerful, incredible praise. I was preaching in Springfield, Missouri, Courageous Church. Pastor Tyler Pageant, he's preached here for us. It was a Wednesday night revival service. That place was packed. And God poured out his Spirit in that service. Oh, man, it was powerful. People were being filled with the Holy Spirit in the balcony. There was overflow in the lobby. People were receiving the Holy Spirit in the lobby all over that building. God was pouring out his Spirit. My friend's testimony, the pastor of that church, powerful church, praying for a man who was a first-time guest, had never been to the church before in his life. And he's back there just, hey, Lord, bless this man. And, you know, he's probably freaked out right now. Help him be less freaked out, you know, just praying the prayers that pastors pray. I'm praying it for some of you right now, Lord. Just touch them so that they'll want to know more. And Tyler said, I heard God say, speak in tongues over this man. He immediately, Lord, I'm not doing that, Lord. No, it's not appropriate. I'm not doing that. He's not going to understand that. And again, the Lord said more forcibly to him, speak in tongues over him. And so, Tyler, knowing the Spirit of the Lord, he began to just speak in tongues quietly. Let me just, my private prayer language, because something's being transferred. Louder! Start speaking in tongues. And the man, the first time guest, shot his neck up from his place of prayer and looked at the pastor and said, what did you just say? And my friend said, I don't know. Speaking in tongues. He said, no, you're speaking in my native language. I've never met anyone else in Springfield, Missouri that knows my native language. And Tyler said, what did I say? He said, you just told me that God led me to this church. And this is the experience that I've been needing in my life. Don't tell me that God will not speak, ladies and gentlemen. That man is in that church today still. Because he felt it, he saw it, and ultimately he spoke it. He spoke it because there's something so powerful. You see, when the Spirit fills a person, speech changes. Witness changes. Boldness changes. Because the fire affects your mouth. If you claim the Spirit of God and you're still cussing people out, get more Spirit of God. That wasn't even in my notes. I just threw that out for free. Because when heaven ignites, when heaven ignites, your life will eventually express. What's in you is going to come out of you. I don't have time to preach it all, but you remember Peter? Before Acts 2, Peter denied Jesus publicly. Jesus told him before the cock crows, 3 times you will have denied me. No way, Lord, you're crazy, I will not. And 3 times that damsel was trying to talk to him, that young lady. He was saying, I'm not with those people, I don't know those people. And then the Bible said he started cursing, trying to sound more convincing. And she said, you can't even curse good. Your cursing sounds saved. Your speech betrays you. Before Acts 2. But after Acts 2, Peter proclaims Jesus publicly. These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing as it's but the 3rd hour of the day. Because the fire can transform fearful people into vocal witnesses. It's impossible to encounter the Spirit deeply and remain completely silent about what God has done. I don't say this in a judgmental way. Let me just be a good pastor. Let me challenge you. Let me move you off center. Let me prod you. Let the word just prod you a little bit. Because if your Monday through Friday life, no one even suspects that there's Jesus in you. If Monday through Friday, no one has any idea that this is who you are on Sunday, I'm not saying you got to carry signs or banners or wave flags in the break room, but there ought to be something on the inside that's being expressed on the outside. I know everybody's mad online. I know everybody's posting all of their belligerence and their anger, but you don't have to play that same role. You can allow what's on the inside. Jesus is good. I love the Lord. This whole world is still in his hand, and I'm going to trust him. Because if the fire is real, eventually it will speak. It will speak. You see, when you look at Azusa, they criticized what they couldn't control. You can bet, ladies and gentlemen, whenever God moves, criticism will follow. At the Azusa revival, there were newspapers that mocked it, and the religious leaders of the day criticized it. Many people called it emotional chaos. Why? Because people criticize what they cannot control. And Acts 2 had its critics also. They said these people are full of new wine. They're drunk. Because when people cannot explain spiritual fire, they mock it. But while the Azusa critics were writing articles, God was writing history. And you and I are living that history. And we're going to make more history right here. Don't let criticism cause you to abandon what God is doing. What God is still doing. Because in every genuine move of God, it confuses some people. It threatens some systems. It disrupts some expectations. But this first fire teaches us they felt it. They saw it, and they spoke it. And I'm believing today, I'm done. But I'm believing there's multiple levels of people in this room today that are going to experience him on one of those levels. You may be feeling it for the first time. I don't know what that was. I don't know what just happened. I don't know. It went deeper than just the goosebumps. It was more than just the emotion of the word or the music. I just, something just shifted inside of me. Maybe you're going to see it happen. Maybe you are going to speak His Spirit out of your belly. You may need fresh fire today, or maybe you're spiritually cold, or maybe you have observed, but you've never experienced. The first fire fell in an upper room, but God never intended for it to stay there. He sent it here for you and I.